Now, I want us to understand why it's important to understand these gifts. Now, we've talked about this some before, but I want to say these things again. Number one, it helps us understand why other Christians have insensitivities or blind spots. When you begin to understand this better, you'll see why other Christians sometimes are, to you, seem so insensitive and so blind to things that you see so clearly. It also helps us understand why other Christians get irritated at our blind spots and our insensitivities, because they will see things that we don't see. And it'll really help us understand that when we study the applications here and the specific characteristics. Number three, it helps us avoid wearing ourselves out trying to function in a gift that God's really given to somebody else. We can wear ourselves out. You really can. When you get in the gift that God wants you to do, it will give you joy. It will give you peace. It will give you a sense of fulfillment, excitement. Number four, it helps us make wiser choices for people to do certain jobs. As we start learning who in the church has different spiritual gifts, we'll realize, you know, that person would be perfect for this job because that job really needs somebody with this particular spiritual gift. And we'll understand that better, and we won't be as likely to choose somebody who is very faithful to the Lord and loves the Lord and very excited about the Lord, but this is just not their gift. You know, this is not what they need to be doing because it's not their gift. It'll help us make wise choices. And then number five, it helps us balance the body of Christ. We need all the gifts, and we really do balance each other if we'll just let God do it. For example, and you're going to see this in great detail as we get into it more, but the gift of mercy beautifully balances the gift of prophecy. And the gift of serving beautifully balances the gift of administration or organizing. And the gift of exhortation beautifully balances teaching. And, of course, vice versa. They all balance each other. And we need the whole thing in the body of Christ to keep the body balanced. You'll see that more clearly. Now, I know some people may be saying, well, how can you be sure that we only get one of those motivational gifts? Maybe we can get a bunch of them. Well, we deduce that from these reasons. Here are the reasons why we believe that you only get one. Number one, in Romans chapter 12, the verses we looked at last time, the emphasis seems to be in verses 6 through 8 that we, whatever our gift is, we are to concentrate on it. It would develop it. We're to concentrate on it. It implies a single point of focus there. Secondly, gifts are compared to body parts. We are individually parts of the body. A hand is a hand. It's not a hand and a foot and an elbow. It's a hand. So we believe we're one part, one gift. Number three, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, where he talks about the same word, gift, charisma, the singular is used. As everyone has received a gift. Even so, minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, as everyone has received a gift, singular. So that implies one. And then finally, number four, having one gift causes us to recognize what we talked about a lot, our need for each other. If you have one guy with all seven gifts, he can say, I don't need anybody, man, I got it. Not only that, it might tend to make us, you remember that first verse we looked at in Romans chapter 12, where we talked about don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. If you had more than one gift, you had a whole bunch of them, you might tend to think, boy, what would the church do without me? Because I've got this gift and this gift and this gift. You know, that might be a problem. You know, it might be a temptation to get a little bit exalted there in ourselves. So we need each other, and having one gift really makes us realize we need all the other members of the body.